You're listening to Boston Public Radio with Jim Browdy and Marjorie Egan. Music, what's news and what's new? Joining us to talk about all those things, Edgar B. Herwick III, who is our colleague at WGBH, and Sarah Rodman, I got to get this in, formerly of the Boston Herald. We always have to do that. Now the pop, music, and TV critic for the Boston Globe. Sarah, it's great to see you. Edgar, hello.
How's it going? Good to be here.
You know, I was watching you across my desk this morning, and you were frantically trying to score your tickets to the Fenway performance.
That's right.
Jay-Z, Justin Timberlake,
JT.
The whatever it's called.
Summer
the,
Legends.
Thank you. Now, tickets were gone in what, 30 seconds?
They were faster than 30 seconds. So I was on Ticketmaster, on the site, watching the clock count down. The moment it becomes available, I hit best available four tickets trying to get them, and then went into a digital queue and was not in time. So it took me, about 10 seconds to do that, and I didn't get tickets. So that's how fast they went.
Now, we know you're going to get tickets, Sarah Rodman, because you got that little critic kind of thing. Could you explain to me the allure? I can understand the Jay-Z allure. Explain to me the Jay-Z Justin Timberlake allure.
Really? Other you than being Justin out- Timberlake explains to you?
Yeah,
how
actually,
he brought
I do.
Sexy back. How all those girls who love dancing love him as a grown up.
Are you amongst
a very
those women?
Endearing media personality.
Oh, I love him too.
Live,
yes.
The ESPY Awards and
he
an
can
actor.
Dance.
And
he's great
in the Facebook movie or Social Network, and yes, he's a very enjoyable personality.
How about the combo? I mean, are you into it?
Yeah, I'm absolutely into the combo. They're both on his new single. They have collaborated in the past. I think they're both going to do their own respective sets, but they'll come together and do stuff. I think it'll be really fun.
How many people call you? As I'm looking at you, I realize you must be. I mean, people who haven't spoken to you in years.
Absolutely.
When there's a big thing at Fenway,
woodwork.
Sarah, I went to high school
Third
with you. Do you remember?
Was
that what happens all the time, kind of thing. Edgar's going to call you, by the way.
I already did. I was talking to her about it in the green room,
but
we got that worked out.
You only get your own tickets.
Yes, I have no pull with anyone anywhere.
It's important. But
I often buy tickets, I will also add.
But you have a bit of breaking news regarding this concert, because something happened after you did not get your tickets
in 10
seconds. That's true.
Because I couldn't get a ticket, I heard, they decided to go ahead and do a second show. So there is a second show.
They've
added
for Edgar.
Just for me. Tickets are going to go on sale March 8th, I believe. So it'll be the same. It'll be the same sort of deal again. Although you can get involved in a pre-sale if you download live, like the app from Live Nation, you can get access to a pre-sale. You can also get all kinds of crazy. They had VIP tickets. I mean, this thing's a huge deal, right? They had VIP tickets, which were on sale prior to today, for up to $1,500 for a package, where you get like one ticket for front row, and you get a T-shirt, and you get to go to a party, and you get to do
get
all
to
kinds
look at a poster
stuff.
Of Beyonce, whatever
wow.
it is.
Yes,
I mean, so who
big business
when they do these kinds of things? I don't even know if you know this, Sarah. There's how many seats are there for me? Like 30,000,
35,000.
Okay, 35,000,
and sometimes more depending on how many they put on the field, which aren't normally there.
How many of those seats were actually available at 10 a.m. today?
Probably 75 or 80%
really?
Of them. Absolutely. The production holds back, tickets because they don't know exactly where the stage is going to be, which is why often a few days before the show, those really good seats become available because the stage hasn't been built yet. And so they have to hold back some of the number for logistical reasons. And then, of course, they're holding them back for Jay-Z's friends and family and, people in the media and
but nobody
like that.
Gets it. Edgar is every man. I mean, I literally don't know. Well, I don't mean in that way. I mean, I don't know. I literally don't know one person who has ever went online. I've done it many a time, by the way. At the second you're supposed to, you have a couple of computers gone.
Right.
You click at the second that it opens. I know virtually nobody, other than maybe a couple of Springsteen fans, who've ever gotten a ticket this way. Who gets the tickets?
I often buy tickets this way.
Do you really?
I really do. I got tickets to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction last year this way. I mean, you just really have to. It's total luck of the draw.
Yeah.
And also, actually, honestly, the closer geographically you are to wherever the event is taking place, the better your shot is.
Is that so?
Yeah, it's a Ticketmaster thing.
So tell me something, Sarah. I mean, there's going to be a big music festival.
There
here.
Is.
This
Memorial
is
Day
very
weekend.
Exciting. Tell us about it.
So it's called Boston Calling, and it's from being put together by the Bowery Presents here in Boston and also a production company called Crashline Productions, which used to work for another radio station, but now they are out on their own doing this event. So it's 2 days, Memorial Day weekend. Really big bands like Fun, who just won a couple of Grammy Awards, including Best New Artist. The Shins, which is one of my personally favorite bands. The National, whose guitarist Aaron Dessner is actually involved in putting the event together. of Monsters and Men. It's 18 bands, 2 days, food trucks, beer garden, the whole schmaggy
City Hall Plaza?
Yes. Would not have been my first choice to hold a two-day festival in that space, but they think they can make it work.
So are they doing it? Because I read in your piece, actually, and I was stunned. They have to pay City Hall something only like, what, $200 an hour?
Right. But it's not just for the amount of time the festival is happening. It's the entire setup.
But it's still a pretty good deal, isn't it?
I thought so, too.
So why are they doing it? I mean, beyond the fact that it's a wind tunnel extraordinary, it's cement. It's sort of,
brick,
I mean, all the things you want a great signature thing festival to be. It's not. So why are they doing it there?
You know, they were just really, they had done events with their previous radio station in that space, and they really just liked the idea of an urban downtown festival. And, you know, that was the space that they were familiar with and was available to them. They said they had also looked into Harvard Stadium, but the timing didn't work out.
Well, there are also cement seats or something. I mean, that's a pretty crummy venue, too.
I think it's just the nature of this town. I mean, if you think about it, where's the alternative space if you want to do it downtown?
Esplanade.
If you want to have it downtown, have it be a rock.
Boston Common is the only other option, and I think it's partially because so many people, there are so many residences actually around the Common that it's probably
you'd have
not
noise
a
issues.
But what's
there,
wrong? Marty said the what's wrong with the Esplanade? I mean, you probably
you
have to let Keith Lockhart
stages.
Be the MC, but other than that, I mean,
you can't really do multiple stages at the Esplanade.
Our number is 877-301-8970.
Yeah.
If you want to talk to Sarah or Edgar about what's happening in current music news, and also in a couple of minutes, they're going to treat us to some of their new favorites. Again, that's 877-301-8970. I also want to get your sense of something. We talked a lot about a column that Marjorie wrote the other day. Why don't you introduce Marjorie to the whole Little Poopy controversy?
Yeah, the unfortunately named Little Poopy, who's like a 9-year-old.
For how unfortunate it is, it seems like everybody enjoys saying it, though. Everybody says
guess,
it every chance they can.
You know,
the unfortunately named Little Poopy.
Well, I initially thought there was a Mr. Poopy and a Mrs. Poopy, but I guess it's his little name.
Like
little,
Mr. Potato Head.
Like
Mr.
Potato Head.
Family.
You never know. Everybody's
the Poopy
different.
Family. The Poopies.
The Poopies, that's right.
The Poopies.
Like Little Bow Wow. I didn't realize Little Bow Wow was not actually a Little Bow Wow at all. Now he's Big Bow Wow. But anyway, this kid is 9 years old and there's been a big brouhaha, basically because he was rapping in a very sexually suggestive way. He was slapping the butts of these bent over women in spandex, you know, the women that are 25 mm-hmm. years old. He's 9. Playing with these big wads of cash. The implication is it came from buying cocaine because he's in a t-shirt that says Coke Boys or Coke Team or something like that. So it became a brouhaha. But the question was, and we were talking about this earlier in the week, does this kid have any talent?
Emmett Price from Northeastern Berkeley yesterday says he does have talent. Yeah. Let's hear a little bit of, I guess, the best of Little Poopy.
I'm really just a kid. You don't get a deal. I'm doing good in school, so I'm going to the jeweler. Way ahead of my time, fake Mueller. I don't sound like Wayne, cause I'm way cooler. I don't sound like Drake, cause I'm way cooler. And he knows that I'll say it straight to him.
Okay, Sarah Robin, write your column live in real time
live on the
in
air.
The Boston Globe. Here she is,
byline
Sarah Robin. Go ahead, write your review.
Well, he's got a couple good things going for him. He is not shy, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that he thinks he's better than Lil Wayne because he's mm-hmm. way cooler. I believe he also said he was better than Dre because he is way cooler. This is the cornerstone of hip-hop, the braggadocio, the, you know, this is how you make your name by saying you're the best. And for 9 years old, I don't know. I'm not sure where that confidence comes from, but I say good on him in the studio anyway.
Well, he sounds good to me. He sounds very good to me.
When his voice changes, things will probably be considerably different.
That's
true.
Yeah.
Got that
well, Michael
cutesy,
Jackson's voice
Michael
changed
Jackson.
Too, didn't it?
Yeah. But the issue, but it changed into
and Peter Brady's.
Lovely.
The issue
Peter
was
Brady
whether
had to go through
and it turned into Seth MacFarlane. So
what do you think? Yeah. A little, I don't even mind. Little Poopy.
I think he's okay. I mean, I you guys did a great job yesterday having a discussion about the controversy around. I mean, I think it's in bad taste. The song's not terribly great, the one that's brought up the controversy. I mean, I think, for like Sarah said, for a 9-year-old, he's pretty good. But actually, one of the things you guys were talking about is, couldn't we find somebody who's in hip-hop, who's a kid who's going to rap about, like, good things or talk about multiplication tables or whatever. So I do want to bring up, there's a group called YN Rich Kids, and they're out of Minneapolis, Minnesota. They're kids. They're all around
the same age.
Real kids, right? And they there's this program, the North Community YMCA Beats and Rhymes program that they have there that is unbelievable. They do like a Schoolhouse Rocks thing with rap, but they had this great song which came out some time ago now about hot Cheetos and Takis, which are just snacks, right? And actually, I have a little of this. I want to hear a little of this hot Cheetos and Takis. This thing, as opposed to a couple hundred thousand views for Lil Poopy, has 5 million views on YouTube. Let's hear a little of that.
Hot Cheetos and Takis. Hot Cheetos and Takis.
I like it.
That's great.
So this is a world of positive hip hop going on. This stuff is good. These kids are super talented. This song is unbelievable. It's an earworm.
Where are they from
Check
again?
Out the video.
Where are they
Minneapolis,
from?
Minneapolis.
Is
Minnesota.
It positive though, Edgar, or is it product?
It could be product placement for Hot Cheetos and Takis. It could
Michelle
very much.
Michelle Obama
the
is not a happy woman this morning.
Of hip hop.
What's their name again? Junk food.
What's their name again?
So this is Y period N period Rich Kids, and this
I
is
love
a, this is a program with the YMCA out in the North Community YMCA in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Our number is 877-301-8970. You're listening to Sarah and Edgar talking about music news. Now we're we started to get in actually new music. You guys were kind enough to bring some selections with you that you thought are good that Marjorie and I should hear, listeners should hear. And by the way, listeners can contribute if they think there's something that we should be hearing that may not be on your list. Edgar, you want to start us off?
Yeah, I want to. I'll get you started. This one I selected for you, Marjorie, because I have a feeling.
Thank you,
I have a feeling you're going to like this one. So this is actually a pretty cool story. This is a new album that's out this month, but it's old music. So this is the album is called Pied Piper Presents a New Concept in Detroit Soul. Now the story here is this was a group of people, some of whom were involved in Motown. That back in the 60s, they had a production outfit. They had their own label, but they put songs out on a bunch of different labels, right? And it's soul music, like right in the vein of Motown soul music, right?
My wheelhouse.
Somehow this group of recordings became available recently. Acetates, old masters, things that had never been released, some that had been released, but none of these charted. Now, admittedly, some of the songs are, it's not quite the level of the Supremes or it's not quite the level of Smokey Robinson, but you hear this, and I think one rock critic called it, it's like listening to a jukebox from an alternative universe. You kind of get this sense like you're familiar with these songs, but you haven't heard any of them. I got one cut here. This is from a band called The Cavaliers. We Go Together.
Unbelievable.
I love that.
Right? That is just
I love that.
There's an entire album of this. There's like 16, 18 cuts. All, like you said, it's like instantly familiar the sound is,
yes.
But you've never heard this
totally,
song.
Especially
Marjorie's
the
reliving the big
okay.
chill right
That's
in the
right.
studio as we speak.
She's doing the dishes right now.
give me the name of this album again.
So it's called, the name of the album is called Pied Piper Presents A New Concept in Detroit Soul.
Thank
and
you.
For anybody who is digging Mayor Hawthorne or Fits in the Tantrums
totally.
Or any of those bands that are out now that basically are copying
Ripping this, off.
This
yep.
sound,
yep.
like this is a great thing to go back to and actually sort of discover the roots of.
Great party.
Well, speaking
record.
Of the roots, I'll tell you, was it at the Obama inauguration or something? I just saw Smokey Robinson. I assume you guys did too. What is he, like 90? How old is Smokey Robinson?
No, 412.
I mean,
he looks
30.
He's actually dead and has just been propped up. To
no,
get
I'm serious.
The Bernie stuff.
Well, he's
got to
be
the
in his 70s, does he not? You know, Barbara Streisand sang at the Oscars the other night for Marvin Hamlisch, and while she was great, you could see her voice has aged a little bit. And but I have to say, Smokey Robinson
sounds
exactly like he did with the Miracles. What was that, 40 years ago or something? Incredible.
Yep.
He's really unbelievable. Okay, so Sarah, add to the list. We had Edgar's. You were shaking your head up and down. You were a happy woman with his selection.
Yes, I
so let's see how he rates
Edgar's
yours.
Selection. So first up, I have the Eels, who actually played a show at the Paradise last night that got rave reviews from those that went to it.
That include you or did it not?
It did not include me.
Did not include you, okay.
I have seen them many times and have always enjoyed them. But their new album is aptly titled. It's called Wonderful, Glorious. And it is, in fact, that. And my favorite song from the new album is called On the Ropes.
I've got enough fight left inside this tired heart to win this one and walk out on my feet. No defeat. Gonna feel so good when it's understood. Behold the rebirth of my hopes. In the ring so long, gotta prove I'm wrong. I'm not knocked out, but I'm on the ropes.
Who's that sound exactly? That sounds exactly like somebody to
me. A little bit like Warren Zevon.
It does sound a little bit like Warren Zevon.
Which is not typically, it's not typically the Eel sound. They had, you know, they had a breakthrough hit, Novocaine for Your Soul, in the 90s when that alternative explosion happened. This guy is a super interesting guy. He goes by E, is it?
Yes. His real name is Mark Oliver Everett.
So his father was a physicist and like had this like theory, this many worlds theory interpretation on quantum physics, which he got like shunned for. And then he developed all of this crazy software and hardware for like physics. He's been in like Nova episodes, and then he's got this really weird sort of like troubled family history as well. And I guess he's also got a local tie. His maternal grandfather is Harold Kid Gore, who was a coach at apparently a legendary coach at the University of Massachusetts Amherst.
Well, so, you are one dude, prepared soul,
for
girl.
No,
for real.
But this guy yikes. this guy is interesting.
Very
Eel's album to Eel's album can be very different, even inside of it. I mean, this is very different
from the last record. And he actually made a documentary about his dad, because he is a very sort of, there's been quite a bit of suicide in his family and depression and
schizophrenia and bipolar disorder.
So he's not, I wouldn't say that he was estranged from his father, but there was definitely communication issues. It's a really interesting documentary about his
dad. Hold on for a second. I have to ask you a question, Sarah Rodman. What is your title at the Boston Globe?
I am pop music and TV critic.
Okay. So in terms of getting the new music, I mean, what do you do? Do you sit around at home with your headset on and just listen to 4 and 5 hours of music a day? I mean,
not every day. I mean, I have to split my time now between music and television.
Right.
And so, but it's a lot of hours. I mean, things get sent to me. I look for things on the internet. People recommend things to me. I spend a lot of time listening to music, but then I also spend a lot of time watching
television. So you figure you probably spend like 15 hours a week listening to music?
More than that.
And so some of that's recreational. How does that affect your mood? I mean, is it because, you know, lots of us listen to music because it just makes us feel wonderful. I mean, do you think you feel better than the average Joe or Josephine?
Well, I would love to report that that was the case, but because I have to listen to a lot of music that I would not otherwise choose to listen to personally, I think that probably balances out how fantastic I might feel.
You can't just get rid of it. If it's bad, you just can't get rid of it and say, I'm not going to listen to this.
I have to listen to the whole thing in order to write about it.
Hey, before we get your second selection from each of you, let me ask, but we talked, like everybody in America did, about Seth MacFarlane being on the Academy Awards and the whole notion of bringing in a younger audience, which he did.
Yes.
There was no, and his support, I love him. I didn't love him that night. I love him generally. Mm-hmm. Sort of cutting edge humor.
Yeah.
There was no cutting edge music. The Academy Awards was intended to be this musical production. They had Chicago. Marjorie called me that night or the next day. Said, was it you who called?
Yeah, I couldn't
was
figure
Chicago?
Out why they
it was
were there.
Like five times. I felt like, yeah. I felt like okay. every
but
segment
still,
had a Chicago
Barbara Streisand, unbelievable.
People who produced the show the movie Chicago.
Okay, well, fine. But still.
I'm just saying that's why you saw so much.
Barbara Streisand, come back. I would know. Good reason for Marvin Hamlisch. Adele, phenomenal. I mean, unbelievable talented, but pretty traditional.
Shirley Bassey.
Shirley Bassey. Well, from another age, too. Yep. But that's obviously because of the Bond flicks, that sort of thing. So why is there no attempt? If they were willing to take a risk with Seth MacFarlane, why weren't they willing to take any risks on the music front?
Well, two reasons for that. As far as the musical theater type numbers were concerned, the theme of the show was the movie musical, which is not necessarily a particularly edgy or trendy thing when you're talking about Chicago or Les Mis or Dreamgirls. And also, Seth MacFarlane has made an album of old school big band music.
He has a good voice.
He does. He's a great singer.
He's sung with several orchestras. That is his preferred type of music. So it's partially because the theme of the show is about old school musicals, and that is what he likes to do. And then I don't know if you heard the clips of the other songs that were nominated, but they were sort of very gauzy and instrumental, and even if they were what you would consider contemporary, they might not have played very well on the show.
We're going to take a break for a second. We'll be back with Edgar and Sarah. They're going to give us their next selections that should be added to your iPod. That's coming up right here on Boston Public Radio with Jim Browdy and Marjorie Egan. A lot of dancing in the studio. You're listening to Boston Public Radio with Jim Browdy and Marjorie Egan. Edgar B. Herrick III, who happens to be a colleague of ours at WGBH. By the way, your first television piece the other night on Emily's show in Greater Boston was fabulous.
Thank you, Jim. I watched
it online last night.
Thank you very much.
And Sarah Rodman, can I say it one more time to make Marjorie happy?
Please do.
Where'd you used to work before you went to the Boston Globe?
Before I worked at the Boston Globe.
Where did you work? I can't remember.
I worked, a little further down the road at the Boston
Herald. That's right. Where Marjorie
works. Oh, that's such a coincidence. You know, Marjorie. injury.
Gary used to sit next to the supply closet. So we were always
I sat in sports for reasons that were never clear to me.
Getting our notebooks.
What Edgar and Sarah are treating us to in the next couple of minutes are their selections of current new music that they think should sort of be added to your portfolio. Edgar, it would be your turn.
All right. So I'm gonna play two cuts back to back from one record. This is an outfit called the Unknown Mortal Orchestra. All right, so these guys are kind of among a crop of new, what I call real musical omnivores, who are coming up. These guys are in their, 20s, and they are pulling from a wide variety of sources, everything from hip-hop to funk to psychedelia to old folk, and it's working. So there's a band that I like a lot called Foxygen that are in this category. These guys are actually from New Zealand. And they decided to come to America. They had built a pretty good audience in New Zealand. They decided, you know what, we want to make it in America. They came. They live in Portland, Oregon now. And this is their second record, their first real proper record that was done in a studio and stuff like that.
Before you throw it, did you notice Marjorie's face brighten when you mentioned psychedelia a couple of seconds ago? It's a throwback to another age. Yeah.
My young and irresponsible youth.
So you'll hear a little bit. So we're going to play two cuts. This first one, to me, sounds a lot like it could have been done by the Byrds in 1967. Right. So this is the first cut from Unknown Mortal Orchestra. This song is called Swim and Sleep. I cannot get enough of this song right now.
Marjorie's going to take this opportunity to say that Jim can do one of those two things, by the way. And that unfortunately happens to be true. That is pretty
Jim.
Good.
Jim does a wonderful dog paddle.
Thank you very much,
Marjorie. You should see him in action.
So what else you got for
me? So then just to show the range, I'm going to play the cut that comes on this record right after this. It's a song called So Good at Being in Trouble. And this is a groove over a hip-hop beat. Let's hear it.
Margie's a very happy woman. How about you, Sarah? Are you liking it too?
I think this is a great pick on Edgar's part. And I feel like it's like Throwback Thursday.
Totally. Totally. It is.
We're just grooving it. But I think that, like you said, it's a really good combination of sort of like vintage sound, but a contemporary sensibility.
Yeah.
And yeah, I dig their sound.
What are you bringing to the table, Sarah? Give us another one.
So next up, this is a man for whom, if he asked me to do anything and he sang it, I would do it.
Yes.
No matter how dangerous, difficult, or criminal it was. If Rahm Mallow said, Sarah, I need you to do it, but he sang it in the voice that you're about to hear, I would do it. There's a great band called the Mavericks who just got back together. Ostensibly a country band, but sort of more in the Los Lobos vein, in that they have Latin influence and classic rock influence and pop influence. And they just got back together after 10 years off. They have a new album out called In Time. They are playing at Royale on April 12th. And Roy Orbison, Elvis Presley, Chris Isaac, if these are your people, then Rahm Mallow is one of your people. This is Call Me When You Get to Heaven.
Call me, oh, when you get.
That is unbelievable.
Roy Orbison, that operatic.
Yes.
Oh.
Bellowing. He gets right to the heart of how dramatic everything is, no matter how.
How old is he?
He's in his late 40s, I believe. Mm.
Do we have time for one more song?
We could squeeze one more. What did you think of that one first, by the way?
I think it's really good. I mean, they're great, but they've been around forever.
Yes.
They'd been around forever. And like you said, ostensibly a country outfit, but I love that. That new record's really good. Yes, it's really good.
Okay, who's going to get the one?
Edgar, you go.
Edgar, we literally have just a couple of seconds.
What do we still have left there? Let's cue something up there. Chelsea in the control room. I don't even know what we have left.
Well, play
in the,
it.
Whatever you got.
Play it, and then Edgar will identify it. Here it is. Whatever it is.
Oh, this is a crazy story. So this is a band called My Bloody Valentine, okay? They have not put a record out in 22 years. They put a record out 22 years ago that was one of the most influential records on a certain sort of class of musicians. So bands like Oasis and the Smashing Pumpkins would never have sounded the way they sounded without this without this record. It never did anything, right? It didn't even chart in the U.S., but it's become legendary. They put their first record out in 22 years.
This
it broke the server
here?
When people downloaded it.
I would say they should have waited 23 years, Edgar.
I know.
Edgar B. Herwick III. We loved all the other ones, Edgar. Sarah Rodman, great TV and pop music critic at the Boston Globe. It was great to see.
You.
Both of you. Hope to see you again soon. We want to thank you. Marjorie and I want to thank you for listening to another edition of Boston Public Radio. You can find us on the web at wgbhnews.org/BPR. Tomorrow on Open Mic. You know who's on Open Mic tomorrow, Marjorie? Emily Rooney's going to join us tomorrow at 1 o'clock on Open Mic. And then we have something we think you're going to like a lot. It's called our Friday News Quiz. And they're an interesting couple of contestants. Janine Garofalo is going to be on the quiz. And her competitor or opponent, I don't know if we want to get it too hostile, will be Livingston Taylor, who, by the way, in answer to the question you're all asking, will be bringing his guitar. I love Livingston Taylor. Actually, I love Janine Garofalo, too. Thanks so much for listening. We will talk to you tomorrow at noon. I am Jim Browdy.
I'm Marjorie Egan.
Have a great day.